Well, boys and girls, can I just say you did tremendously well. I was very impressed. What a wonderful selection of Bible readings, of singing, of instrumental. It was very good. And I wouldn't be a big watcher of Britain's Got Talent, but I'll take the Reverend Campbell's word for it. And if he thinks that you would have done well, I don't doubt that you would have done well. Now, I want to check if everybody's arms are working. All the boys and girls, put up your arm like this. Let me see you put your arm up. See, everybody's working. Right. Right. We'll not ask the adults to do it just yet. I'm going to ask you some questions. I want to see what you think. Who here today would say that they're rich? Who's rich? Anybody rich? Now, careful. Don't be looking around at the rich people in the congregation. Or there might be somebody that's rich and they don't want other people to know. Right? So some people would like to think they're rich. Who would like to be rich? Who would like to have as much money as they could spend? Anybody? Yeah? You could buy whatever toys you want, whatever sweets you want, whatever clothes you want. You could go on holidays whenever you want. Sounds good, doesn't it? Who would say that they're young? Would you say that you're young? Yeah? Put your hand up if you're young. No, you people need to, you guys at the back need to. You're well past that. You're looking at young in the binoculars. Right, so yous are young. And if I was to ask the older folk today who would like to be young, do you know what? They wouldn't be putting up one arm. They would be both arms up and they would be jumping up and down. Because people would like to be young. And what about being in charge? Any of you young people in charge? Who thinks they're in charge? Anybody in charge? You're in charge. Good. Good. At least there's someone. I can see women very tempted to put their hands up and the husband's pulling them down. People like to be in charge because we think if we're in charge, we can make decisions. And we think that whenever we make decisions, we'll make better decisions than other people. Well, our story today is about the rich, young ruler. Three things that people think are fantastic. It'd be fantastic to be rich. It'd be fantastic to be young. And it would be fantastic to be in charge. Well, boys and girls, can we... Sorry, I didn't get your name, so... What's your name, sir? Robert. Robert, I'm going to be... My arms, as long as they are, I can't reach the computer at the back. So I'm going to be relying on Robert to advance me to the next slide. Thanks, Robert, if you wouldn't mind. Well, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus had just left a place called Galilee. And he had arrived in the coastal area of Judea, just beyond the River Jordan. And the Bible tells us that a great multitude, a big crowd of people, followed him because they wanted to hear him preach and they wanted to be healed and they were very interested in what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say. And then we also had in this crowd, and you can see them here in the blue and white, we had Pharisees. And the Pharisees were the religious leaders. And to be honest, they weren't that interested in learning anything from the Lord Jesus Christ. They were there just to find fault. They were there just to find something that they could complain about. Because they weren't interested in what the Lord Jesus Christ had to tell people. But also that day in the crowd, there were mummies and daddies. And there were children. Young children just like you. And the mummies and daddies loved their children. And they wanted their children to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Lord to pray for them and for the Lord to heal them if they were sick. And so they brought their children forward to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. But boys and girls, the disciples, they were there and they were helping the Lord Jesus Christ. And they thought they were doing the right thing. And they, the Bible says, they rebuked the parents. In other words, they scolded the parents. Don't bring your children onto the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was that? You see, the disciples probably thought that the children were not as important as the adults. And sometimes that's what the world tells us. Children are not as important as the adults. Maybe they thought the children wouldn't understand. Maybe they thought they were too young. Can we have the next one, Robert? But whenever Jesus seen what was happening, the Bible tells us that he called out, that he called them unto him. The Lord didn't just allow that to happen. He called the children unto himself. And when he did that, he also told off the disciples. He said to the disciples, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Now, when the Bible uses the word "suffer the little children," it doesn't mean suffer the way we would talk about the word "suffer" today. The word "suffer" in the Bible, in this context, it means to allow the little children to come unto me. And Jesus went on to say, "Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not in no wise enter therein." Now, that's important, but see that verse? That's not for the children. That's for the adults. That's for all you big folk at the back. Except ye can come unto the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved the way these little ones do, you're not going to heaven. There's not two ways. There's not the way that a child gets saved and the way that an adult gets saved. How many ways are there? Someone was holding up a sign earlier on. How many ways? Many ways are there? One. One single way. And that's the way that children get saved, and it's the way that adults get saved. So the Lord was telling everyone in the crowd, if you guys want to get saved, if you want to go to heaven, you have to come the way that a child will come. It's not about all the complexities of the Bible when it comes to doctrine and theology. It's not about knowing everything that's in the Bible. It's about knowing that you're a sinner. It's about knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ can forgive sins and asking him to forgive you for your sins and to save you. You see, getting saved is not complicated. And the older we get, sometimes the more complicated we like to think it is. Sometimes we say, oh, it can't be that simple. Couldn't possibly be that simple. What, you just have to admit that you're a sinner and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you? Is it really as simple as that? Surely not. Surely you have to do other things. Do you know why it's simple? It's simple because God loves you. If God loves you, why would he want to make it difficult or hard for you to get saved? The gospel is simple. Salvation is simple. But just because it's simple, it doesn't mean you have it. You've got to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Can we have the next slide, please? So the little boys and girls, they come unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord speaks unto them and talks with them, and the disciples are rebuked, and the crowd's looking on, and everyone's paying attention. And then away in the distance, somebody comes running. And at first they can't work out who it is, but they're coming running, and you can imagine this big crowd's gathered round the Lord Jesus Christ. And as people see this person running, they start pointing and telling one another, "Look, he's coming, he's coming." And the crowd starts to open up a wee bit to let this man through. Now, they wouldn't be just letting anybody through. This must be somebody important. After all, why would he have any more right to get to the front of the crowd as anybody else? So this man comes running, and as he gets closer, more and more people start to recognize him. And they stand back and they allow him through. And the Bible tells us that this man, he was a young man, he was a ruler. He was someone important. He was in charge of something. And as this man got closer and closer, he comes up to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we find out that he was a rich young ruler. And that's why the story is called The Rich Young Ruler. But what was his hurry? Why was he running? Was something wrong? You see, whenever you're young, you run all over the place. I have a wee girl and she's 10. And we were in Oma Hospital last week with a broken toe. Hers, not mine. And she was running in the house. And I told her many, many times, don't run in the house. And on the way to the hospital, I said, do you know why I tell you not to run in the house? And she said, I do now. Her toe was broken. Just a wee toe. But it's getting a whole lot better now. But when you're young, you run all over the place. But as you get older, you don't run quite so much. You only run when you have to run. And some of us, let's just hope we don't have to run. Because running would be hard. Getting stopped could be even harder. But this young man came running because he was in a hurry. He wanted something. Something was important to him. Next slide, please, Robert. And when he came before the Lord Jesus Christ, he was very respectful. Despite the fact that he was rich and he was a ruler, he was still respectful. And he kneeled before the Lord Jesus Christ. He got down on his knees and he looked up at the Lord and he said, "Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What good thing shall I do that I will have eternal life?" Well, boys and girls, the first thing we learn from that is he didn't have eternal life. Because if he did have eternal life, he wouldn't have come to the Lord Jesus Christ to ask for it. He also called the Lord Jesus Christ good master. And the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to make a point, not so much to just this man, but everyone in the crowd. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Why callest thou me good? Why are you calling me good?" And the Lord went on to say, "There is none good save one that is God." There is only one that's good, and that's God. There are lots of people in this world today, and they think they're good. And there are others, and they think they're just good enough. They don't need God, they don't need Jesus, because they think they're good enough. Well, boys and girls, and adults too, you can never be good enough to not need God. If you were good enough to not need God, then why did Jesus die on the cross? What a terrible mistake that would have been if we could have got to heaven any other way. But he had to die because we were not good enough. So the Lord Jesus went on to tell the young man, because the young man wants to know, how can I get eternal life? And Jesus says unto him that you need to keep all the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Let me ask you today, have you ever stolen something? Don't want anybody putting their hands up now. But have you ever stolen something? We know we shouldn't steal. But maybe a pencil, a rubber, sweet, a drink, whenever someone wasn't looking. What about lying? The Bible calls it bearing false witness. Have we ever told lies? I think everybody has told lies. What about honor thy father and thy mother? Have you always been obedient? Have you always done what mummy and daddy ask? Or sometimes have we not done what we were told? You see, boys and girls, we might like to think that we're good, but the Bible tells us that we're sinners and we need to have our sins forgiven. Next slide, please, Robert. Now, this rich young ruler, he was excited and he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" So he was convinced that he was someone who kept all the commandments from his youth. And he was excited. Because he thought, "You've told me I need to keep the commandments. I need to obey the law. I've done that." But he doesn't stop there. He says, "What lack I yet?" So he's basically saying unto the Lord, "I know I should do those things and I've done those things, but I'm still not saved. I'm still not going to heaven. What do I lack? What's missing?" There's many people today, and they're not saved, but they do lots of good things. They come out to church all the time. They sing. They read their Bible. They say their prayers. They're good to their neighbors. They're good to the people at work. They're good to everyone. They're lovely people. But they're not saved. Because it's not just about being a good person. It's not about being a good person at all. It's good to be a good person. It's good to behave and it's good to be a nice person. But that doesn't save you. That doesn't get you to heaven. Following the commandments, well, we can't. We should try. We should keep trying. But we will sin. We will make mistakes. We will fall. But this young man says, "What lack I yet? What's missing?" So he knew that being good wasn't enough. Well, boys and girls, this young man had everything he could want in his life. He had money, he had youth, he had power, he could do what he wanted. He thought he had everything except salvation. and he knew he needed it. Well, the Lord was able to look into the heart of this man, just as the Lord can look into your heart. And the Lord could tell that there was one thing that was stopping this young man from coming on to the Lord Jesus Christ and getting saved. And that was his riches. All his wealth. Can we have the next slide, please, Robert? The Lord Jesus Christ answered the rich young ruler, and he said, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." The Lord told him to sell everything that he had and to follow him. And the Lord told him, if you sell everything that you have, you'll have treasure in heaven, and you'll be going to heaven because you'll be saved. Well, boys and girls, that young man was, to say the least, he was shocked. Couldn't believe it. The rich young ruler was shocked, and he was on the ground, and he started thinking. And as he was thinking about this, you can imagine everyone in the crowd looking on. They're all watching, and they heard what the Lord Jesus Christ said to this rich young ruler. Sell all that you have. Give it on to the poor. I'm sure there were people in that crowd, and they were poor, and they were thinking, that's a good idea. Because we'll get some of what he has if he has to sell it and give it on to us. But that young man started to think. Next slide, please, Robert. You know, boys and girls, he loved his wealth. He loved his riches. He loved his house. He loved his clothes. He loved his fine food. He loved his rich lifestyle. He could eat anything he wanted. He could buy anything he wanted. Life was very comfortable. Now, being wealthy and having money, it's not a bad thing. Just because someone has lots of money or lots of wealth, it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. But the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, you might have heard people say that in the past, money is the root of all evil. God doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. God says the love of money is the root of all evil. And this young man loved his money. He loved what his money allowed him to do. And he loved it more than he loved Jesus. Next slide, please, Robert. He pictured in his mind what it would be like if I had to sell all my clothes, all my nice clothes, all my favorite tops. I have to sell them. I have to sell all the possessions in my house. I have to sell my house because the Lord Jesus Christ told me I had to sell everything. And not only that, I can't even keep the money. I have to sell it, and then I have to take the money, and I have to give the money to poor people. And the more he thought about that, the more upset he got. The sadder he got. Because he loved those things. And he didn't want to be what he thought was a poor person. To give everything away. He didn't want to give it up. Not for Jesus. Not for heaven. And yet in all, he knew in his heart, if he wanted to go to heaven, if he wanted to have his sins forgiven, he knew he had to do what the Lord Jesus Christ told him. But he couldn't bring himself to do it. He loved everything that he had too much. You know, boys and girls, there are people in the world today, people in our churches today, and they love their life just the way it is. And they don't want it to change. They know they're not ready for heaven. They know they need to be saved. And they think, but if I got saved, I'd have to stop going there, and I couldn't do that, and my life would change. And I like to do those things. You see, boys and girls, they want to have salvation, but they want to go on living a life of sin. And this is what this young man was presented with. God was telling him, the Lord Jesus Christ had told him, you need to sell everything that you have. You need to come and follow me, and you'll have treasures in heaven. But that young man, as much as he wanted to go to heaven, he wanted his lifestyle even more. Next slide, please. And after he thought about it, That young man got up from before the Lord Jesus Christ. He dusted down his clothes and he walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know what happens when you walk away from someone? When you walk away from someone, you have to turn your back on them. And he turned his back on the Lord Jesus Christ and he walked away. And the Bible tells us he went away sorrowful, very sad. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Sadly, this young man rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. He decided that his riches were more important to him than having Jesus as his Savior. But you know, as sad as this young man was, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was even more sad, because the Lord loved him. The Lord would love to have seen him saved. But that young man walked away. Next slide, please, Robert. As that young man walked away into the distance, you could imagine the crowd being silent. They think this is astonishing. This young, rich ruler, someone that was important, someone who had wealth, who came unto the Lord Jesus Christ and said, I have kept the commandments. Maybe this young man was a lovely person. And he had a great reputation in his community, and everybody thought he was a great man. In fact, there would have been many people who thought the reason he was rich was because God had made him rich for being such a good person. And yet and all, to see that young man walk away into the distance, having rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, having said, I would rather have my wealth, I would rather have my lifestyle, than go to heaven. How sad that was. And the crowd was astonished. They couldn't understand. The Lord Jesus Christ explained to those people in the crowd how hard it is for a rich person, a person with wealth, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that's because rich people and people who have lots, they tend to think they have everything that they need. And if they have everything that they need, they don't need Jesus. If they can get whatever they want in this world because of what they have, they don't understand why they can't have what's in heaven because of what they have. They think they can buy whatever it is that they need. That's really sad, boys and girls, that you can have lovely people, nice people, generous people, that think they're good enough, but they won't ask Christ to save them because they don't think they need it. But as you were singing this morning, there is one way, and there is only one way. There will only ever be one way, and that one way is to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the gift of salvation, it's free, and it's simple. And God made it simple because God loves his children. And you can be saved today. You don't need money. You don't need to know everything that's in the Bible. And this applies to the adults and the pews as well as the children. What you need to know to get saved is to know that you're a sinner. And it doesn't matter what you think of yourself. What matters is what God says you are. God's in charge. And God says you are a sinner. But he also says, I love you. And he says you can be saved and have your sin taken away by confessing your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking him to save your soul. If you're not saved, you can get saved by asking the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. And I can tell you this, there's no amount of money, no amount of youth or power or health comes anywhere close to knowing in your heart that you're saved and knowing that you're ready for heaven. Boys and girls, if you'd like to talk to me or anyone else within your church that you know is saved, or the Reverend Campbell after the church, and this applies to adults as well, if you're not saved, you're living on the edge. And someday your life will cease. And when it does, Your wealth, it's not going to matter. Your lifestyle, it's not going to matter. The desires that you have, they're not going to matter. The only thing that will matter when you close your eyes in death is, have you accepted Christ as your Savior in the same simple way that a little child would? Amen.